Welcome to the Once Upon an Island podcast. I'm your host, Wesley, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host,
Mary. And Wesley, this episode this week, I just have to say, it was kind of fishy.
It was very fishy. We had fish as a reward, and we had the fish puzzle.
Yes.
This fish puzzle, I feel like this was featured on a previous video that you wrote for me, like your top 10 favorite Survivor challenges.
It wasn't a fish. It was a similar type of puzzle, but they made a bat. It was a hanging, I think.
It was in season 33.
Or was it a fish? Yeah, it was a bat. It was a hanging bat. They've done the fish before. This one was a little bit newer because they had like the side fins that they put in with pegs. That was new. So I like that. But no, I thought it was an interesting episode. I just liked the theme of the fish this episode. Although when he said at the reward challenge, you get 10 fish, I'm like, really? We've gotten to like having rewards in huts and picnics on the beach by a volcano to you get 10 fish. Yay.
I miss when Jeff was on the volcano in Vanuatu telling us about the season. That was exciting. But yes, we'll talk about all the fish later. And a couple things I want to mention out the gate. Number one, I am wearing a fish hoodie. You mentioned it, and I thought, how can I express this to our listeners? If you look up if you know about The Chosen, it's a TV show. The logo's like a bunch of fishes surrounding the words The Chosen. I'm wearing it right now.
Yeah.
So this is was unexpected. Fishy day. It's a very unexpected fishy day. That's what this episode should be called, an unexpected fishy day. A couple things. Filmheart, my movie channel, just posted a new video. Got another one coming in a few days. Very excited. Come check that out. Mary and I podcast on that channel as well. Links in the description. On Patreon, I don't normally advertise Patreon on the podcast, but I do want to mention it because I just started the Cook Islands videos. I got Cowboys story video up on there, and I have like 8 or 9, at minimum 8 other videos on there that if you join right now, you can watch that are not on YouTube, like the All-Star Secrets, Penner's story video from Philippines, and like the South Pacific cult. So that all sounds interesting. That's all on the Patreon. And Mary, I know you have something coming. We've teased it every week, and we're still going to tease it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have my middle grade novel, which will be published by the end of April is the goal. And I'm really excited. I'll have some updates soon for you.
So we have the book cover. The book's been done, and we're just excited to get that to you guys. So yeah, we'll give you updates as we go along, but for her as well, links in the description on how to follow Mary and get updates on that book, which pretty excited about. Okay, so let's get into this episode. As usual, chapter markers are in the video for all the parts of our podcast. This week, I won't have the TV ratings because we're recording this actually right after the episode.
Right.
But I do have a very small update from last week's.
Okay.
But it's a good update, so.
Good.
All right. So the episode starts and Daniel says, no talking tonight. I don't really want to talk.
Right.
It was a disaster. So, of course, we spend like 6 minutes of the episode talking during that night.
Right. Yeah. And I thought that was pretty funny.
I said Daniel has no backbone, and I think it was definitely solidified here.
Yeah.
When he just does it anyways after saying he doesn't want to.
Right. That it was just an overall bad. It was so bad for Daniel. Like
it's been bad for Daniel. Right.
And he was like, I don't understand why Chanel's also not involved in this. She was the mastermind and da, da, da. It's because of how you handled it. So I have no sympathy for Daniel. I do not think he is playing very well right now.
So you're not on the Daniel hype train?
I've never been on the Daniel hype train, I don't think. I thought he was kind of cute the very first episode when he was all excited about everything.
And he popped a shoulder out.
Right. I mean, I wasn't excited about that, but but no, it's just cringy watching him. Like there's some people who play bad and it's like kind of fun to watch them destruct. This one's just, it's a bad destruct.
Yeah, it's a destrunct. Ah, his last name's Strunk. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I know. Chanel and him are not good anymore. I would say Daniel's not good with anyone on his tribe. In fact, if Green goes to tribal, which they don't do tonight, but if Green goes to tribal like next week, Daniel has to be a goner. Like, this is a deep hole.
Yeah.
I don't see how he gets out of it.
I don't either. Yeah, Mike and to be fair, it's like a really big contrast between how High handles the aftermath and how Daniel handles it.
Yes.
Obviously, Daniel was in a much deeper hole, but High is just kind of calm and collected about everything, and he goes to
Mike. And High's like, we were all blindsided, right. Even though I got what I wanted.
Right, exactly. He goes to Mike, and he's, you know, he just really lays it out there. You know, Mike, you know, Daniel wanted me to write your name down. I just didn't feel right about it. Yeah. I mean, whatever the reason of him writing, like we talked about that a little bit last week, but High just, he is able to handle it. He's more eloquent.
Yeah.
And I just thought the contrast between the two was pretty good, because
I don't have High in my winter group, but he's definitely shown to be someone who is probably top of the green pack right there with Mike.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Strategically. So seems like he'll definitely make the merge. He's not, it doesn't seem like he's in danger. But then again, no. I didn't think Swathy was in danger.
Swathy,
sorry. Until after the immunity challenge.
Today. Oh yeah, I had no idea.
Who really knows sometimes? Chanel says Daniel threw her under the bus. She said she can't admit to her own wrongdoing. And then I wrote, then throws her under the bus. I don't know what I was writing there. But she does basically say, I was in the wrong, but like, I'm not going to tell them that.
Right.
It's like so evil, but yet that's really the, don't, why well, would like, you yeah. self-admit to wrongdoing? What are you, Daniel?
No, I guess the only time that it's okay is kind of when you're caught in it. But yeah, don't just volunteer information, I mm-hmm. guess.
I completely agree with you. High says everyone's blindsided and Daniel's no backbone. Mike is mad at Daniel. I mean, who isn't? I wrote this because I was writing these notes live, but like honestly, after it was done, like who?
Right.
Who this, is everyone him? Hates Daniel's. What this part of the episode should have been called? Right.
There's just opening 6 minutes of Daniel bash.
When we saw Will Smith slap Chris Rock this week, I know I just dated this podcast. We saw that everyone really does hate Chris, but this week we saw that everyone really hates Daniel on Survivor.
Everyone hates Daniel.
Wow, what a topical joke I made. All right. Yes. So we move on to the Roar Challenge, unless you have something else you want to talk about that. All right. It was just a cluster is what that portion of the episode was. Jeff's like, it's 10 decent sized fish. But as we learned later, Marianne knows how to get airtime on the show by saying, Jeff, you undersold these fish. They are so amazing. They're the biggest fish I've ever seen.
To be fair, they were really large fish. Yeah. And it probably will feed them for a couple of, I mean, they have no refrigeration. Yeah. I don't know how that works.
I don't want to jump too far ahead, but yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. No, I'm just saying that's a great way to get some airtime though. True. Just really compliment Jeff. Be like, Jeff, you, man, you really under Jeff.
I do want to mention something mm-hmm. else. Right at the beginning of this challenge, when Jeff says, you know, you get a look at what's the green tribe's name?
I don't know. Just call whatever. Him the green tribe. Vati, green I think.
Right, Vati. And Jenny was voted out. Of course, we see Marianne's overreaction because she just does. But there's like a couple other people or shows them reacting to that. And I guess by now, people are slightly more familiar with each other because they've been at more challenges, mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know, but that part for me stood out as being fake for some reason. And I'm just like, why are people overreacting to Jenny being gone? It's like they had no idea about the drama that happened at camp.
And it's not like they've ever done a tribe swap, so they like they knew her, Jenny from previous tribe. Yeah, I don't.
That seemed fishy to me.
Oh my goodness. This kind of reminds me of in 41 when we talked about the turtles and how we wanted to time travel with the turtles.
Oh yeah,
good times. Not the season, but that podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Can you explain the challenge and what skills would be necessary to be good at this challenge? Because it all ties into the end, obviously.
Well, so two people are swimmers. Wait, no, sorry. That's the immunity challenge. So sorry. Three people are tied together, or you know, tied to a rope, and the rope is braided,
mm-hmm.
and you have to untwist yourself, and then go over like barriers, over and under barriers, and then once you untangle all of yourself in the rope, you use the rope to grab a big wooden platform and drag it.
Well, you have to like hook it.
Yeah, you have to hook it onto this platform and drag the platform to you. Then you have to grab four balls and you have to toss them into a really large hoop. So skills needed are, dexterity mm-hmm. to untangle the rope.
Okay.
and strength to haul the raft.
Sure.
And aim to throw the ball.
Would you say have big hulking muscles is a necessity to this challenge?
It's really honestly not.
No, it's not.
It's not. I mean, except for the raft portion. The only reason they blew everyone else out of the water was because they were communicating with each other right at the beginning.
Jonathan outsmarted the other two tribes.
Yes.
Because he knew exactly how to get them through that rope.
Right.
Which is why they blew through it. It wasn't because Jonathan's like, ripping the ropes apart with his muscles. Right. Like they, like what a Goliath. By the way, smart of the air tribes to do, to do that. Not blaming them for feeling inadequate and also pinning him with a target, obviously. But to pretend like because of his large size and his muscles is the reason they
right from the get-go, he was like over, under. Yeah. And no one else was doing that. And they were able to get into a rhythm and get out of those ropes.
The rhythm really did them.
Yeah, really quickly. And Jeff is like, hint, hint, look at them. They're doing this rhythm dance. Yeah. Come on, you guys.
But they're in the middle. But when you're in the middle of the moment.
And, oh, I know. I mean, sure.
How do you, who has time to listen to Jeff talk the whole time when you're doing the challenge? I don't. Yeah. So Orange just crushes this. I did note that when Marianne scored her basket, she just freaks out. Of course, what else is
of
new?
Of course. It does, you even have to make but a comment like, about that.
Woo! It's like, okay, the challenge isn't over yet. You just scored your underhanded grandma basket.
She was excited.
Oh, I would have been excited too. I don't know if I would have screamed in front. Not unless we won the challenge, but I've done that. But
yeah.
Yeah. That was something.
Another thing that was fishy. I'm sorry. I'm going to continue the keep theme. Doing it. Jeff is like, it's like whatever the Orange Tribe's name is. It's like they were practicing this.
Yeah.
And it's Taku. Like, Jeff, why are you trying to put a target on their back? So yeah, Jeff. I don't know.
Do you not like them, Jeff?
I'm sure he does, but I'm sure it's just to be controversial.
Oh, Jeff loves stirring the pot, but he's trying to. I think maybe he's trying to find nice family friendly G-rated ways to do it instead of his usual being a jerk way.
I guess that could be like a under the radar.
How we went from season 13 Candace from Raro Tribe to you'll find your love one day, Marianne, is beyond me. I only say this because I am just working on Cook Island videos right now. Anyways, Tori calls Jonathan a Goliath. I'm not sure. I wrote down, I'm not sure being large is the benefit of this challenge though. High calls him Thor. Mm-hmm. So if Jonathan wins this season and
you're going to call him a story video.
Yeah,
of course.
Cause that would have like, I love when somebody gives somebody a name or if somebody names themselves, I don't care. I'm like, perfect. I know exactly what to call your story video. Cause if, as everyone knows who follows this channel, I think if someone wins, they get a story video guaranteed. We don't even have to like discuss it. They're getting one. So yeah. If Jonathan wins, his story video's name is Thor. And he has the body of Thor.
Right. Yeah. You were saying a couple podcasts ago about how you didn't know if he like had any fat to help him out throughout this. And no, he doesn't.
I don't know
how you missed that.
But nothing has really been expressed to us that he's struggling yet. Though, to be fair, it's only like day 9.
Well, and I noticed, so when they get back to camp, and we can talk about the mini challenge more if you want, but I did notice that Lindsay says they think they won because they've been eating and the other tribes haven't been eating.
Yeah.
But it hasn't shown them eating.
Well, sometimes, and I don't know for a fact, but sometimes they have reward challenges and they just don't show them. Though I'm not sure how many they're having, seeing that they're doing 26 day seasons. Right. Like I know Winners at War and other seasons before that where they had 39 days, they'd have unaired reward challenges. Heck, season 1 had an unaired reward challenge or two.
Well, I think they got fishing gear, didn't they?
Maybe, yeah.
So it's just like they haven't talked about that being an asset.
Yeah, and because they haven't talked about it, I don't remember.
That's right, so maybe. Because they haven't talked about it, it's like, oh, wait, you guys are eating? Yeah. I mean, cool, I guess.
It's just like when Jeff's like, oh, I'm going to get your flint. You can't make fire. It's like, oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it never matters. If you don't show on the show, I don't care.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Apparently it matters because why else are they winning? So like that would have been nice to have a 3-second clip of Omar catching fish. Yeah. Or I'm sure it's probably Jonathan.
6 minutes of dumping on Daniel at the beginning?
Right.
Could have shortened that to half. Yeah, I agree with you. Unless, of course, Daniel ends up winning, then I think it's very important because he turned around his game. Well, I'm just saying
that would be impressive.
If Daniel went on to win, that would be a very important scene because, like, how do you go from this to winning? It's impressive. So, but I agree with you. I don't think Daniel's winning either. So, as we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, they get back to camp. Marianne's like, the Tease 10 Fish. Jeff, you undersold this. It's just like pumping up the sponsors of the show. It's guaranteed airtime.
Yeah, what sponsors?
Well, you know, when they had Applebee's in season 39, and the last one I can remember. You know, Applebee's, my favorite sit-down restaurant. I'll never forget you, Karishma. Okay. Marion then says she's mad at Jonathan because Jonathan's like, I screwed up by saying we're a really tight four.
I didn't understand that. Like, I guess why you could be a little upset by revealing that you're a tight four, but honestly, your gameplay shows you're a tight four. They work together really well. You have to be a tight four. Okay,
but remember, all these people are seeing are you at the challenges. So just because you guys are good at challenges together doesn't mean you're all aligned together.
Yeah, but he didn't say, you know what, Jeff, we're so tight. We're going to be the final four. We're going to like be the tightest alliance you ever had. It was so vague already. I didn't understand the hype. I was just like, what else do you say to that question? Yeah, we're a tight team. We work well together.
Yeah.
That's basically what he said. I mean, he could have said
that,
but
it's not what he said. It didn't come across like that.
Oh, I don't know.
Coming off the heels of them dominating the challenge, if they had just barely won and been like, yeah, we're just so excited. We did really well. But it wasn't. They dominated the challenge and they dominate the next challenge too. It doesn't, and that you have such a limited time. Like, he doesn't even know Tori's name. He calls her the blonde-headed girl on the blue tribe.
Yes.
That's how little these people know of each other. So your limited interaction is they crushed us and they said they're tight. Okay. Like, that's not good.
I'm just a little baffled at why they got so upset by it.
I'm just trying to put my mind in their minds. I'm trying to swap minds. Mind swap.
If I'm on the blue tribe, though, I know those that are tight four. And when merge comes, I know that unless...
Well, now you do.
No. In my mind, I'm just putting myself in blue tribe shoes, in Tori's shoes, whatever.
Tori's shoes.
And if a merge comes, sure, they're going to say they're a tight group. Sure, they're going to say they're working together. But when merge comes, you always know people get annoyed by things. People are tired of living with each other. They're ready to meet some new friends. I don't know. I just wouldn't. I wouldn't take it for face value.
Well. Oh, I failed to mention. I'm going to mention it here before I do forget. In 2 weeks. So next week, we have a normal episode length. But in 2 weeks, it's a 2-hour episode, which I'm imagining is the merge / hourglass episode.
Yeah.
Just a heads up for everyone who is listening to this part of the podcast. There you go. Bonus information you get ahead of time. All right. I looked that up. I just went CBS's TV schedule, by the way. I don't have like insider information. And they always tell you 2 weeks ahead. All right. So Jonathan's like literally ripping fish in half with his hands. I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but the way it's presented is like, he's doing a little slice and he's just like, whoosh, like, I don't think I could do that. I think I would have to cut all the way through before I could do what he did. But he's just like getting a slice and just ripping them open.
Maybe there's like a trick to it.
Maybe he is just slicing them open. And it looks like to me, he's ripping them in half. I was just impressed. But then we get his backstory. Can you tell us about his backstory?
His dad making him run mountains,
basically.
I mean, there wasn't much to his backstory, just saying that he's wanted to be on Survivor since he was, what, like a little kid, I don't remember, really young. And that training and running and strength conditioning have been a part of his life forever. And but also he did, you know, kind of say that he wanted to make sure people knew that he was there to serve them. Like, he was going to use his strength for the tribe.
Yeah. It came across not arrogant.
Yeah. He did come across very humble and genuine.
Imagine Shan from season 41 and then everything's the opposite. Everything. Okay. We go over to the Blue Tribe and I was like, finally.
Right.
We hadn't seen them in an episode and a half, like almost two episodes, man. Romeo makes the fire and he literally explains, which kind of reminds me of the Holderness family from Amazing Race season just happened. He explains how there should be a montage here of Rox Roy bossing him around.
I thought that was pretty
which
funny.
Which is what we get.
Yeah.
And at that point, I wrote, Rox Roy's a goner. I was wrong, but I wrote it down.
Yeah, I didn't think so. But by the end of the blue, like, as soon as immunity as soon as immunity started, I said, okay, Blue's going to lose because they spent so much time at Blue, but also kind of pointing the target at Tori.
And if Green had lost, though, it would have been Daniel, which is what we had been told going into the immunity challenge.
Right. But it was just, I felt like it was a little bit obvious in the editing, even though mm-hmm. I wasn't sure who was going home.
Yeah.
Because we did get so much time at Blue, which again, we haven't seen them, like you said,
we needed time
2 weeks. We did need it. And it was good to see. I mean, there was a bunch happening. I had a lot of notes from this portion.
Well, let's run through them. My first note is Swathi wants Drea out after the montage of how much Rock Troy bosses everyone around.
Right.
Swathi wants Drea out. And we're before the immunity challenge, sorry, getting very strategically heavy, which is huge indications that we're going to tribal with this tribe, right? Because this is a lot of strategic talk. It's not like a fun scene where we're ripping fish and talking about our backstory or mm-hmm. no. It's felt very much like things
strategy
to come.
strategy. Yeah.
Things come. What are your notes? I mean, what's your big notes here?
Just that there was a lot of he said she said. Tori goes and tells Rockstroy goes and tells Drea. Mm-hmm. You know, Swathi and Tori are talking. Tori is talking with Drea. Romeo's talking with Drea. It was just so much. It was a lot. Basically, I kind of thought that. Well, first of all, my notes are that Rockstroy really doesn't know what's going on a lot, and even when he gets told stuff that's going on, mm-hmm. he's just like, "Well, no, that's not gonna happen."
And probably. Also, I don't like talking strategy, but also, you're wrong.
Right. He
Tori's face when she's talking to Rockstroy is funny. She's like, "Uh huh." She's like,
"Oh yeah."
It's like the angle and the look she has. She's like listening, but also it's kind of like
that scene was so funny when she was like, "Yeah, I really think we need to get Drea out because she has an advantage." Mm-hmm. But Rockstroy says whatever he's gonna say, and Tori's just like, "Uh huh, okay, well, Drea has an advantage," you know, and she just tries to keep going. But anyways, like,
everybody hates Daniel and everybody hates Rockstroy.
Yeah, nobody likes Rockstroy. Nobody. But they're keeping him around apparently because of challenges, even though
he sits out of challenges.
Does he?
He sat out a challenge this episode.
Well, he had to sit out one.
He sat out. He didn't have to.
That's true.
Yeah, he didn't have to.
That is true.
Apparently, big men are what wins you the reward challenge. Why they sit him out? You know. Anyways, yeah, Tori dumps on him, and it's just like everybody hates Rockstroy, and his edit is so negative. This is the most negative edit I've seen.
Yeah,
like there's like no semblance of good in his edit, because even when they lose the meaning, he's like, "I just want to like strangle." I know it's not what he says, but like he's like, "I want to strangle my tribe," is like the hand motion.
Yeah, his
he makes.
Body gestures.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like, what's good about Rockstroy in the show? And it sucks because I'm sure he's fine.
Well, he has one positive at the tribal council. But
has he?
We'll get to that when we get there.
Yeah, let me know. I didn't catch that. Okay. Tori tells him about Drea's extra vote. Rox then immediately tells Drea.
Yeah.
Because nobody can keep a secret. But I kind of understand Rox's position here. He's not really aligned with anybody, which is dumb. But
oh, and that was another thing about him that might have been post-immunity challenge. Maybe. But basically, no, it was at this point, because Tori was talking to him about, hey, we should probably get Drea out because she has this advantage.
Yeah.
And his reasoning was like, well, I don't talk strategy until we lose. Like, we don't need to talk about it until, because we don't even know if we're going.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not really something you just say. I mean, maybe it's because he didn't really want to try and align with Tori, but sure. Like, you never just shut down strategy talk. Like, even if it's somebody you're not really wanting to work with, you always keep an open line of communication.
That's what Tori says, though. She's like, he's narcissistic, is her analysis as a therapist.
Right.
And Rockstroy doesn't like anyone's idea unless it comes from himself.
Right.
Which is, by the way, like if you're a leader, it's a terrible thing to do. Mm-hmm. The worst leaders don't listen to other people. We've all been underneath somebody who's like that. I imagine most of us have. And if you haven't and you're young, one day you might. And hopefully you never have to. But it sucks when you do. Anyone who's worked under somebody like that will tell you it sucks. But yeah. So Rox tells Drea, and I put, got to vote out Rox. He is a goner. I wrote it 2 times. I was so sure Rox is gone. I was like, how is he not going? Like, tonight? Of course, it turns out, obviously. But at this point, I was like, I want to let you guys know. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. When I'm right, I'm right. I was wrong. I was so wrong. I'm okay. It's okay. I like when I'm wrong, too, because it keeps me on my toes. Like, I knew Mariah was going well before. So we go to the challenge. Unless you had something else about that camp scene. Okay. And we're talking about this torrential rainstorm that happened the night before.
Oh, yeah.
Show us the torrential rainstorm. Please, why? Why are we talking about it?
Right. Why do we have to hear them talk about something we haven't seen?
Just spend 30 seconds and show the stupid rainstorm.
Same with the eating, like we talked about earlier.
Unless it was so bad the cameraman can be there. And then say that, because we've been breaking the fourth wall anyways. Be like, it was so bad we couldn't even have our cameraman outside. Like, anything.
You know what? It probably wasn't even that bad of a rainstorm. And Daniel's just complaining.
Well, I think, didn't Marianne also talk about it? Or she went straight in her bunny rant?
Oh, that's true. She did say, you know, how the rain was so bad and it reminded her of the bunny. The classic case of the bunny. Yeah, that was funny.
And Mike's just, we cut to Mike and Mike's just like face is like, I'm not saying a word.
Right.
We don't even have to hear from Mike. We know.
I thought it was funny. What did she say in her confessional? Like, you can't tell me I'm the only one looking out, you know, out looking for idols. And then she says like, get good guys. But it wasn't that. But basically that idea of, come on. Start playing the game, people.
Well, she's in the same position as Xander was last season, where it's like,
yeah,
come on. But I feel like it wasn't this episode. I think it was the next episode, episode 5 and 41, where Nasir finally found it. So we know Tori finds it, by the way, which is how we knew Tori wasn't going anywhere, because in the stupid preview,
oh yeah,
Tori finds it. Also, Tori hasn't done her hair in braids like Lindsay's hair, which is also in the like first few minutes of the episode. Of the premiere.
Right.
Tori's hair looks just like Lindsay's, and Tori has yet to do her hair like that.
Well, so okay, I'm waiting. That is like such a tiny thing. She could have done that at the beginning and then taken it down.
It's a tiny thing until she's in the final three with it.
And the idol, obviously, or the advantage is a big thing.
Yeah, indicator. For sure. That's just like with Marianne last week. Like, until these people find the advantages that they teased,
they're obviously safe. Yeah. I don't know why I forgot about that.
Oh, well, it's actually better to forget, in my opinion.
Sure, yeah. Because I thought she had a chance of going home.
If there's any time to have amnesia, it's after watching the Survivor preview, apparently.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, except for I remembered Mike can't go anywhere for a while because he has to grow out sideburns. All right. So once again with the bunny, I wrote down Mary can explain the challenge. So Mary, can you explain this challenge?
I did do the last one. No, I'm just kidding. So this one, two people are in a boat, two people are swimming, dragging the boat. They have to go to like a platform in the water, and the two people in the boat climb the platform. They have to jump off and grab a key,
which we saw in Winners at War.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we see the jumping off and grabbing the key a lot.
That's true.
So there's two keys. Once they get both keys, get back in the boat, once again, swim out to another platform where they have to unlock the case that holds the fish, the hanging fish puzzle, which I like the hanging puzzles. Those are cool.
Yes. The hanging puzzles are unique. They overuse so many things. Hanging puzzles hasn't yet to get old, even though they've been using them for many seasons now.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that I'm always like, oh, this would be, because you can't go in any order. You have to go in a specific order to make that puzzle happen. I mean, I guess technically you could do it on the deck. I mean,
there are a couple of orders. Put it on the deck
and then
first?
Try to lift it up.
Oh, no.
But that would be dangerous. Yeah. I feel like it would fall apart. It's just a bad idea. So it's like the best way to do it is while it's hanging. Jonathan goes beast mode and basically by himself pulls the boat.
Right.
And I'm just like, Jonathan, you're not helping your... I mean, it's too late now, I guess. But you're not helping your case at all, dude. This is the time to go beast mode, I guess.
It's the immunity challenge. If he wants to hold back at reward, sure. But I feel like at this point...
It's too late.
Everybody knows what he is and what he can do. Maybe it's just intimidation at this point.
When he bested the ocean last week, we all should have... It was too late. Once he bested the entire ocean by himself and everyone else was struggling, So during the puzzle, I noted that hearing how Orange and Green talks about the puzzle makes them sound smarter. Because we hear the Green Tribe and the Orange Tribe both talk about, okay, the gradient's here, and this is... Mm. We never hear that from Blue. And I know it's so subtle, and it's like during the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
But if these are all things that you're kind of like, if you're waiting to see, okay, who's going to lose, that to me seemed like an indicator.
Mm.
I'm not saying it's guaranteed every time, but when I heard that, my suspicion was already Blue's going to travel because of all the talks.
Right.
And then when I hear only the other two tribes talking about how to do the puzzle, and they make a point of showing each of them doing this, it's like, okay, Blue's losing. I don't know why they're making it such a point, but Blue's losing.
Sure.
So
I don't.
And did you catch that?
I didn't catch that, but it was really close, I felt like.
Oh, it was close between Green and Blue, for sure.
Well, I did catch that Green was talking about... Yeah, I guess I did notice that they were talking about like the colors and matching the colors.
Orange,
but I didn't
did it as well.
I didn't catch that Blue didn't talk
Blue did
about
not
as
no.
much yeah
yeah of course I haven't watched the episode a second time. I'm just saying this based on my one time viewing,
sure.
So hopefully I'm Correct. So something I did notice, and it's something you might not notice because Lydia doesn't get a lot of screen time, but when the Green Tribe wins, there's like a very brief, like, I don't know, I cannot express it. I'm going to put it in the loop of the video, but when Green wins the immunity challenge, Lydia's like facial reaction when they win is just funny.
And like, she's relieved, really, excited.
It's just like, kind of like, I don't have the words. You just have to watch it for yourself.
I missed that.
It's okay. It's a blink and you miss it moment. Like, it doesn't take very long, but it reminds me of, it's just like, well, I wish we heard more from Lydia because she does seem like she's a funny person, especially when we heard, okay, so it's episode 2 and I haven't cried yet, or right. Day 2 and I haven't cried yet. It's
that's
like,
true.
But it's like, some people, that'd be annoying hearing it from them, but from her, it's like funny because she seems like she's naturally funny. So I wish we had more Lydia, I guess, is my one of my few complaints about the storytelling this season.
Right.
Okay. I do want to point out that last season, episode 4, was the Let's Get Erica Out of the Game challenge narration. That did not obviously happen, anything like that. But when we go back to the Blue Tribe and all of a sudden there's a montage of jumping on Swathi, I was like, if Swathi survives, is this the Erica needs to be pulled out, being voted out of the game, but then doesn't? I'm like, are we, like, I don't know, how much symmetry are we doing is my question.
Yeah.
I mean, we aren't going to do it, thankfully, it doesn't seem like, but we're not going to have the plant the thing at the fire, the stupid advantage at the fire that makes you go to another island and then have a stupid decision that really is just a waste of time, like Brad did.
Right.
And Tiffany and Sydney did last season. But I don't know how much symmetry we're doing. So I was like waiting for like, okay, are we going to do something this episode's going to be anything close? Nope, thankfully not.
I thought you were going to say because Tori almost went home, but she pulled it off. So that could be your...
Well, if we had done that whole montage and we went to tribal and Swathi played her shot in the dark and it was safe, I'd been like, that might be it. But it wasn't safe. By the way, 4 times it's been played. None have been safe between both seasons. One of the next 2 times has to be safe according to Survivor's own 1-6 rules they made up.
Does it?
On the shot in the dark. That's what they said 1-6.
Yeah, that just means there's 1 that says safe and there are 5 that say not safe.
Well, we don't see them digging through a bag, finding one. As far as I'm aware, it's just a stack of papers and they grab the top one. I don't know. How do I know? How am I supposed to know? They don't show any of this.
Yeah, I think it's just 5 say not safe, 1
if
say safe.
If we have 2 more not safes, there's something fishy going on with the shot in the darks. That's why I say they cannot allow 2 more. That would be ridiculous. We'd all be like, it's not 1-6. It's 1-7. It's 1-8. Survivor has to rig 1 in the next 2 to be safe, and I don't care which one they
the
do.
The actual math, I'm not good, whatever. Somebody who's really good at math could probably tell us, like...
What are the odds?
The actual odds for a 1-6, yeah, which should be 1-6, but...
Voce told us in season 41 what the odds were, and Jeff's like, are you like a math expert?
Was it 33%? 33.33%?
No, it wasn't 33%. Are you...
That's 1-3.
Did you graduate school?
He said 33.333, so I was confused.
It
can't
be. It's 1-6. It's like 13%.
I know, so I was confused at what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. All right. Moving along, I put Rock's edit is so negative, it's insane, because we come back. So first, one of the indicators, we come out of the challenge, right? We lose the challenge. We hear from Tori about how she feels, and I'm like, clear indicator that she's safe. I'd forgotten about the fact she needs to find that advantage, but I'm like, coming out of a challenge and hearing what somebody has to think, unless typically it's a sign that they're important, is what I'm trying to say. And then we come back from challenge and Rox is like, why do we keep losing? Oh! And it's like, can Rox have anything nice in the show for him? Like, can the show be nice to Rox at all ever?
Right. Well, never. And he's also just out of touch with everything because he says Tori's a threat. And Tori's like the least threatening person on the tribe.
I'd say by the end of this episode, Tori's definitely a threat.
She's really not. She's a goat, in my opinion.
You think Tori's a goat?
Right now with how she's playing. I know you think she wins.
No. I don't think she wins. I think she's final 3.
Okay, but she's a goat.
Wow. Well, you can be a goat and be in the final 3. It's usually how these things
go. And not the greatest of all time. Oh. Like the original meaning of goat.
like not Tom Brady. Okay.
Yes.
I said all of us. So I would say we go from everybody hates Daniel to everybody hates Roxroy to all of a sudden everybody hates Swathi. I wrote down, I feel blindsided. I feel blindsided.
But that was Swathi's own fault. Like, she really did this to herself. But again, we haven't seen Blue Tribe, so we haven't seen all these secret packs. Sure, they flash back to all of them, which was pretty good editing.
I was a little confused. I was like, have we seen these? And I forgot.
No,
because it's not presented as never seen.
I honestly don't think we have. And actually, I remember one where she's talking to Roxroy at the shelter, and she tells him that he's her number one. So that's one reason I did pick her as my winner last week, because I thought she was doing a good job of strategizing and having alliances with everyone, but obviously not. She obviously went just a step too far. It was a little too greedy. She shouldn't have tried to rope in Tori if Tori was in the outs. Like, if you're already in the majority, why try to rope in Tori? Well, she wanted to get Dre out in the advantage. I get that, but no, she was playing a little bit too hard too soon.
Now, if you want to know who's really in contention to win, listen to our winner's analysis section of this podcast, where I will definitely not be wrong about anything ever.
Ever.
Yeah, right.
Well, me either, because last week I had picked Swathi.
Yeah, I knew that was wrong. All right. It was just like a montage of just dumping on Swathi. Mm-hmm. Like, she tries reverse Unoing on Tori, but Tori's like, nope, I have a double reverse. I have like a triple reverse. I don't know. Tori is like, draw 25, Swathi, because you're done. It was actually a really good move by Tori, because Tori was in the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I was like, if anything, Tori's now the power player on this tribe. Like, Drea and
Drea, Romeo, Roxroy, yes, and Swathi and Tori.
Mm-hmm. They just got, I felt like they got tricked, in my opinion.
Who?
By Tori.
Oh.
Drea and Roxroy seems
they
like
didn't.
He's
All
tricked.
She did was tell them what happened.
They flip so quickly.
If you watch it though, it's really Romeo who came to Drea, and they were the ones that kind of figured out, oh, this is what's actually going on. She's telling you you're number one. She's telling me I'm number one.
Yeah.
Then they go to Tori. Tori was never going to do anything.
You know, you think Tori's getting more credit than she actually deserves?
Yes. Tori went to Roxroy, but only because Swathi told her to. But then Drea and Romeo go to Tori and have that conversation with her. She was sitting on the beach washing her shoes while they were discussing all of this.
This is true. They definitely, she was like down there putting on her, like taking a bath and putting socks on or whatever. You're right. Yeah. You know what? You could very well be right. I'd have to go back and watch.
Shocking. I know.
Shocking what? No, you make good analysis all the time. This is one thing I didn't catch that. That's a really good point. So I frankly don't have too much else for this Blue Tribe scene. Do you have anything else before we go to Tribal?
The only thing else I have is that Drea here, and it's kind of random because I don't think she's going to get much farther, but Drea does say how, you know, if this was her company and she's making $1 million deal, she would just cut people because she doesn't want anyone messing with my $1 million.
Feels like a red herring.
Probably is. I just wrote it down.
Because the rest of her edit doesn't add up.
No, she's not going to go very far.
Yeah. I had some people comment on the winner's edit video I made. They're like, well, just because somebody says the line doesn't mean they're winning. I'm like, no, that's like, there's so many factors into the winner's edit. That's why I talk about, there's so many other things. Like, just because you have $1 million line doesn't mean you're winning.
Mm-hmm.
Proof is here in Drea, in my opinion, like you said, you don't think she's going to win. But even last season, the person who had the closest to like a straight up winner's quote was Ricard. Well, he didn't win. I mean, he got to the final five, but he wasn't winning.
And so we know that. Probably everyone is saying something like that in their confessionals. So, of course, you're going to want to pick the winner to say it at some point because that just makes sense. And then you'll throw in a few red herrings too. But
yeah. And that's so really you're looking for multiple things. If you guys want to know what I'm talking about, check out my winner edit video I dropped a few weeks ago where I talk about what are all the factors that go into somebody's going to win. And every week in our winner analysis, we kind of touch upon these things. But if you really want like a scripted, tightly edited, me not rambling about it. Yeah, that's the video for you. So, all right. And of course, those who are like super hardcore fans probably already know all the things. Okay, we get to Tribal. And I noted that it was like a weirdly subtle music going to Tribal. Usually it's more intense. Here it was kind of like, is Shan being voted out right now? It's kind of how it felt, like the music. You know, if you guys
didn't notice.
Remember Shan being voted out, getting like the nice sentimental music on our way out the door. It's like kind of what we felt like going into Tribal. which kind of makes sense when Jeff goes, what's the mood right now? And Dre is like,
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I thought maybe that's why the music was the way it was.
It could be, because you had a kind of a slow start to the tribal, I guess. Maybe they're trying to match that.
Yeah, I mean, tribal ends up being okay. Swathi throws out a headline and basically says that she is not going on Tori's mistake. And Tori's like, nope, reverse Uno again. Swathi likes to project herself on everybody, all her insecurities and whatnot. And I was like, I don't think anything changes here at Tribal, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I do think throwing that out there's like what Tori says is so good, even if it's evil and like a villainous move to do, because like you can't prove that she's wrong.
No.
Like, you can't say that Swathi doesn't project herself. How could you do that unless you're Swathi?
I mean, in this situation, Tori is the one that's right. And Swathi is the one that's in the wrong, because Swathi is the one that was trying to make secret deals. And all Tori did was reveal it.
Yeah.
Well, not even that. She just agreed with the revealing. So, yeah, once again, we see I put that Swathi was bumbling in her attempt to throw Tori under the bus. It was like very vague at first and then not specific. And then it was just a mess, and she didn't know what she was doing. She was just scrambling, and you could tell. And when somebody's scrambling and they don't have a really good defense, it just makes you seem... I was like, oh, man, Swathi's...
You might remember in our preseason, and those who listen to our preseason podcast well, we talked about how majority of winners, it's like almost every winner from like the past, like, what was it? I forgot how many seasons we went back to, like 32. All winners are like between the ages of 24 and 35, yep, with the exception of like Tony, I think it was the only exception, which is a unique season. And there's a reason why it's that age range. Not only are there other people within that age range who make up majority of the cast, but also there's a certain maturity level you reach to, certain smarts level, and you're still in touch with those around you. And Swathi's just really young. And when you say she's bumbling, it's like, it's because she's 19.
Right.
Swathi wanted to articulate herself.
Yes.
She was not prepared.
Right.
She doesn't have to... I'm not saying anything about lying. I'm just saying articulating yourself is probably the word I'm looking for here.
Right.
I say this as I'm not able to articulate myself. But she also had to go into tribal knowing what was going to happen and knowing that she would have to articulate herself.
Yes.
And explain how Tori is the devil here, because that's, mm-hmm, really what she's trying to do.
Right.
Though she does say she's being painted as an agent of chaos. And I want to know if she's referencing books 4 and 5 of the New Jedi Order.
Oh, my goodness.
I need to know.
Probably not.
I bet you one listener is like, holy cow, I did not expect a New Jedi Order reference. Well, you're welcome, listener, who understands that reference. All right.
So then we come to the one positive thing, yes, about Roxroy.
I want
to
hear it.
Which is that he compliments Swathi because he has noticed how she came into the tribe just being really shy and reserved, and how it took a lot of guts for her to kind of make that bold statement. And, mm-hmm, he was really proud of her. And so then Jeff says that's a really fatherly, paternal thing to say.
Mm.
And it was just, that is his one thing, is he's a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah.
So he has the fatherly.
And so when they lose the challenge, he wants to be like a Homer people. Simpson and choke out his children. I see.
Okay. I'm just saying that was one positive thing about Roxroy.
Swathi plays her shot in the dark. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Not safe. Fourth in a row, because I'm counting Sydney from 41.
Sure.
I guess technically you could be like, it resets when we move to new season. And I can accept that. But if we get to 6 straight, including Sydney's, I'm going to start. That's fishy.
Yeah,
it's fishy. I don't care.
Okay, I looked it up, by the way. It's a 14-point-something% chance.
She gets voted out pretty much unanimously. I wrote down wow, because I felt blindsided. I was like, well, so by the time they lost the immunity challenge, I was like, holy cow. In her final words, she says this, and Mary, I want to know what you think. In her final words, she says that Boston Rob was the 4th out in his first season, and maybe like him, she'll come back for an all-star season. Now, I'm not really focused on the All-Stars part of that comment. I want to know if you caught the other part.
Boston Rob?
That's part of it. She said, I know you haven't seen Marquesas, so I'm not going to put this on you, but Boston Rob was not the 4th out on his season. He played on the 4th season, but he was not the 4th out on his season. He was actually the 7th out on his season.
Oh. I had no idea.
I don't blame Swathi for saying this. I want to be clear on that. It is not her fault. I make mistakes all the time. We all do. You know, how she's supposed to have the boot list memorized from every season of Survivor. It's insane. However, why the show decided to leave that in tells me that whoever was editing it doesn't know Boston Rob wasn't the fourth out on Marquesas. And I put this on Twitter, and Brian from Guatemala commented that maybe the editors were still infants when the fourth season was happening. He says it's very possible.
So. I would assume they would just look that up, though.
That's what I'm saying. They have access to the Survivor Wiki.
Okay, why? People like you care about very specific things.
The
like,
editors of the show should
listen,
care.
Listen. But then there are people who care about, like, stories more. So the fact that Swathi is trying to connect to the story of Rob might have been more important than the accuracy of which episode
they could have. They could have edited her confessional, which they do all the time, by the way, with everyone, even in this episode, where they cut together, they cut things out of confessionals to make one coherent sentence. They still could have cut out the inaccuracy to not make her look dumb and also make themselves look dumb. That's all I'm really saying here.
Okay, sure.
I'm just saying.
I think it's kind of like kind of cute because she obviously knows Survivor well. She's studied it. She's into it. It's her thing. She enjoys it. But she's not 100% accurate, and that's okay.
Contrary to popular belief, I'm not like Boston Rob's biggest fan. You just, you know, one of the most popular videos on my channel is about Boston Rob. So, like, you know, I had to be sure I knew my information. But, you know, definitely not fourth out in the fourth season. Get out of here, Survivor editors. I expect more. A brief note I want to make, season 41 DVD cover, the season 41 DVD is going to be releasing here soon, like next month or so. I know this because I have them all and I pre-ordered this one. So unlike the previous seasons where they have like either part of the cast or the whole cast, I like when they put the whole cast on there. It's just Jeff holding a torch.
What?
Very Jeff focused on the season 41 DVD cover. It felt kind of lazy.
Come on.
It felt like they put zero effort into it. So a little disappointing on that. I want to mention that. So next week on Survivor, what's next week on Survivor?
Next week on Survivor is once again seems to be the bash on the big guys.
And everyone hates Daniel.
Everyone hates Daniel. Marianne's mad at Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And Omar is tired of their fight is what it was edited to seem like.
Yeah.
And then again, I think people are mad at Rockshroy. I could be wrong.
But I mean, who isn't mad at Rockshroy? Right. I'm mad at Rockshroy. I've never even met the guy. I'm so livid right now. I'm angry. I'm overwhelmed with anger. Not just whelmed. Okay. All right, let's move on to the TV ratings part of our podcast to be very brief because, as I said, we are recording this right after the episode is done. So I don't know what the episode 4 ratings are. But I did mention last week that so overall season 41 was a downhill slope, like from the premiere through episode, I forgot what episode it stopped being a downhill slope, but it was for a while. It was going downhill, I think, through like the merge. Season 42 has been on the upswing since the premiere, but it did start lower than 41. Point being is last week I said that episode 3 had 5.2 million viewers. I was incorrect. It ended up being 5.3 million.
Oh.
So a little bit better. It's on the upswing. Currently, as of episode 3, it's 500,000 behind season 41 on the same episode. So I'm hoping that episode 4, which by the way, links in the description before I get to this information, you can look at it yourself. Hopefully episode 4 is another upswing and we catch up and even surpass season 41 here in the next episode or two.
Right.
Because season 41 sucks in comparison. And I hate that some people will turn off from the show because of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. That's so unfortunate. Let's move on to winner analysis. Woo! Okay. Winner analysis time.
Nice intro.
Yes. Let's go one at a time. I like what we did last week with who is your number three. And if they're all equal, it's fine. Just whoever your number three is. And I'll start. My number three is, you might be shocked to hear this, still unchanged. It's Tori.
Mm-hmm.
Though she did move up in my mind this week. Like it didn't feel great when last week she got no screen time because the whole Blue Tribe got skunked. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On screen time, which that's never a great sign at all. Nope. But winners in the past have been ignored for episodes, so this wouldn't be the first time if it was true. Tori, I know you pointed out that it was really Romeo and Drea who was really making the decisions. However, Tori seemed to be getting a lot of the credit, is how I felt watching the episode, the way the story was presenting itself. And sometimes that matters more than what the facts are. How the story presents it is more important for figuring out who the winner is. I don't think Tori's the winner, but if you've been tracking along with every podcast, that hint they gave at the end of the opening minutes of the show is what I'm basing. So until one of my three gets voted out, this I'm just rolling with it until then. I'm just going to remain like a rocks Roy and not change my stance.
Okay.
All right. Who's your number three, Mary?
Well, I have to change it because it was Swathi. And obviously it was. That is not going to happen. Nope. So I think I'm going to add High to my list tonight. Just because I was impressed with him this week. I know he's technically on the bottom, but he navigated it really well. And I think he's strategic, but he's not playing too hard yet. So
I don't think High's a bad pick. He was my preseason pick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it, but I also didn't see Erica, frankly, in 41 until later. So
sure.
it's possible. It happens. My number two is Jonathan, who is soon to be my number three if things keep going the way they're going. But Jonathan, as we saw, beast mode. We haven't had a challenge beast in a while. I know technically Tony won 4 immunities in Winners at War. Kind of felt like people kind of gave it to him. I know he won the 4 he won, but I feel like we haven't had a true challenge beast since Rick Devins in 38, where he just like went on a tear. He was winning challenges, finding idols, saving his butt. Mm-hmm. I feel like Jonathan could get into a position like that where he has to win challenges to save his hide.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't necessarily have to win every week. You just have to win on weeks that you're the target, and hopefully people get annoyed at other people. So when you're not a target, people forget about you.
Right.
It happens. Sometimes some big target will get ignored because everybody's annoyed at somebody else that week. So
right.
I think Jonathan could. I feel like he has the hardest path of these three in the final three of my three.
Yes.
So he's moving down the list. The gap between number two and one for me has become massive. But yeah, who's your number two?
Also Jonathan.
Well, well, well.
Mainly because I number two for you. Well, I just don't. Same reasons for you, basically. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to win because he is such a target. But I'm hoping he wins because I like him and I mm-hmm. think he is a good player as far as all of the physical challenges, somewhat of the mental challenges. But we all know he's not the best puzzlist, whatever.
His backstory was also endearing, and he was like,
he had such a small backstory, but it was, yeah, his personality, he's like what I would consider like a newer Aussie or something. Like hopefully he does go on a challenge mm-hmm. run and gets to the end and people like him and he wins, because I could see that.
It's hard to remember, but man, Aussie and Cook Islands was like during the tribal immunity challenges, he wasn't as great. He was just kind of like, okay. It was really the individual where he mm-hmm. dominated, whereas Jonathan here is like,
he's dominating.
I mean, he's individually dominating right. the tribal challenges. So can he stand on a platform with his arms above his head?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, that's really the stupid yeah. challenges he has to deal with come individual time. So we'll see. Hopefully he can. But my number one is Marianne, and this is by a mile. In fact, if anybody here is going to win this game, I'm not locking it in by any means. I've learned my lesson. But Marianne, I believe, like, holy cow, does she have the perfect, like, edit. We always check in with her. We're always checking in with, what's Marianne up to? How's Marianne feel? Wow, what a fun character. And mm-hmm. so she could be fourth place. Don't get me wrong. Right. It happens to fun characters. Christian Yubiki is a fun character, but I feel like her edit's much stronger than Christian Yubiki. Nobody's focused on Marianne as a target, and nobody thinks views her as a weakness either. Right. Despite her annoying Mariah, and guess what? Mariah, out the door. You know what? You don't like Marianne? You're out the door is what I've learned.
So far.
Marianne, I'm telling you, week four, like I've been on her hype train since week one. Week four, I feel like Marianne, if Marianne wins, this is at a top, I don't know, I can't say top 10 for sure, but it's definitely a top season.
Yeah, or at least a top 10 winner. Right.
Because mm-hmm. she's very fun, and I love that.
Right. Well, I'm going to stick with my number one that I had last week, which was Omar, because
I do like Omar.
He's really good relationally, strategy. He's got his meat shield, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I think he'll make it pretty far.
Now, in 2 weeks, we get to the merge, is what I'm guessing, because it's a 2-hour episode, as I said earlier. So we'll move down from 3 picks to 2. So next week's our last week of having 3 people we can consider for winners. But we're going to have to cut one of our 3 here in a couple weeks, and man, between Tori and Jonathan, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head who I'm going to cut. Well, I got somebody though. See. It's not Marianne though, unless she gets voted out. Of course, I'm not cutting Marianne. Marianne's locked in at number one until she's gone or loses. obviously. Okay, well, let's move on to your all's questions. Every week on the community tab on my YouTube channel, I ask you guys, what's your questions for us? I also post other updates on there as well about what new videos I've made, what's coming up to be released on YouTube, what's on Patreon, stuff like that. And of course, randomly, I'll do a poll. So anyways, all right. First question is from, this person gets their question answered a lot, I noticed. UWU, I still haven't figured out how to say that. Did the other two tribes have the right to be salty at Jonathan at the reward challenge? It didn't look like he actually carried the challenge. Also, okay, I'll start there because there's a second question. Do they have the right to be salty at Jonathan?
I mean,
define the right, I guess.
Yeah, define the right, I guess. But no,
I mean, that's my short answer. They're wrong to think that Jonathan is single-handedly winning that reward challenge.
Right.
But I do understand the sentiment after seeing him beast the challenge that nobody else could beast last week. And then, heck, even at the immunity, he was like single-handedly pulling that boat.
Right.
So
it's just, it's always hard when you fail at something really badly and you want a target and he's an easy target.
Their second half of their question is also, do you think it's okay for Jeff to be complimenting the Orange Tribe and Jonathan so much? It seems like he's just digging them a hole for the merge.
Right. That's what we're saying.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, so I don't think it's okay. I think Jeff should either be complimenting everybody, nobody. I mean, but that's not Jeff. And you know what? I like that Jeff's bias sometimes. It's unfortunate for Jonathan here, but Jeff's bias is part of why I don't want an impartial host. I know, crazy to say, but Jeff's never been impartial. Ever.
Right.
Ever. Even in season one, Jeff wasn't impartial. He was like, Richard, why'd you step down? I don't understand. So Jeff's like almost like a surrogate of the audience, of the casual audience in the show, in terms of his opinions and views. So, all right, next question is from Vincent. There's no way Jonathan can actually win every single individual immunity, right? Right? What do you think, Mary?
We'll see. It just depends. I mean, he seems to be unstoppable right now, but we've seen that so often where you're really strong in a tribal challenge because it's more geared to different things. You know,
there's no
mean?
Endurance in the tribal
right.
challenges.
It's never an endurance. And so we'll see how well he does with an endurance. It's just, that's always a mental thing. And we haven't really seen if he's got that yet.
Yeah,
so.
Undoubtedly we'll have 10 straight endurance challenges where nobody has to move a muscle. You have to hold something in place. No. And it's just like, ugh, can you just shoot me now? Can he do those? That's
I hope he does.
I mean, I hope he does well. If nothing else, I hope Jonathan makes it far. I feel like Mike also, we kind of don't talk about Mike in the winner analysis. I think Mike makes it far. I don't think Mike wins.
Because of his sideburns.
Well, no, it's not just that. I feel like Mike gets solid information. This kind of should be in the winner analysis, but I'm saying it here. Mike gets has such a solid story. I just don't sense winner in Mike. But I do want to say Mike, if I had a number four, Mike would be it right now. If I wasn't so locked into my winner edit hints, Mike would be number four. So I want to throw that there. Mike also, great character. Quinn asks, why did they include Tori finding an idol in the preseason preview if it's now spoiled? Yeah, 2 Ica votes. I guess the better question is, why would they spoil it and then pretend like Tori is a huge target?
Right.
If you're going to spoil it, don't pretend she's a huge target, or don't spoil it and therefore you can act like she's a big target. I mean, you got to pick one or the other. You can't have your cake and eat it too, and they're trying to do it.
Well, they always have to have two people going into tribal. Which one is it? And if it wasn't Swathi, who else would it have been? But they just shouldn't have spoiled that at the beginning.
Yeah, because the potatoes line would have been so funny when it gets found later. Because it is the funniest of the three.
Yeah.
Followed by the soccer line, in my opinion. And it would have been funny when it gets dropped, but they couldn't wait to drop it on us for the 42 preview.
No patience.
And they had to show her face and... We couldn't even been like, maybe it's Lindsay. I don't know. Maybe it's another white girl. Nope. It had to be Tori because I'd see her face. Yeah. Okay. So the next question is from Ryan. Who is your favorite storyteller this season? Who is doing the best narrating this season? Is his question. For me, Marianne. I don't know if she's storytelling, but I like every time she talks.
I knew you were going to say that. Like, who's just, like, my favorite when they get out and start talking about the game?
Yeah, like, they're like, okay, here's what's going on here at the camp. Is there anyone that stands out to you?
Well, Romeo was funny tonight because of his montage, but we hardly ever see Blue, so it's not, that's like not consistent. I don't know if he does stuff like that often, but that's the kind of stuff I think is funny.
We kind of got that last season too with Evie. Evie kind of did a similar thing, like cut to yellow. They're down in the dumps. So people have been kind of getting kind of meta with their confessionals. I'm sure they could have been doing it in the past. Just now the show's actually letting them do it.
They're breaking that
portal. Exactly. All right, last question from Judah, and this is also my question, Mary. Do you think the shot in the dark will ever work for a player this season? Seems like they should retire or rework it if it never saves anyone. I feel like 3 out of 4 episodes we've seen it. So at the rate they're going, it has to work at some point.
You would think.
You would think.
But I honestly don't know. Honestly, yeah. I don't think it adds a lot to the game right now. And so I would be fine if they got rid of it.
The only time the losing your vote has mattered in terms of Shot in the Dark was Sydney last season, where it was like, had she not done it, it would have been an even split on the votes. But because she played it, she ended up going home. So there it actually made an effect. But yeah, so far the season's made no effect. But I do applaud the players for using it correctly. Oh, I'm on the bottom. Oh, everyone's going to vote for me. Play your Shot in the Dark. Yeah. Thank you.
At least they're doing that. I mean, it's true. It wouldn't have saved Swathi tonight if she hadn't done it.
I personally enjoy the gameplay more this season than the last season. Helps that someone like Shan's not dominating a tribe and treating them all like trash on their way out the door.
Yes.
So that does help my opinions of the gameplay. So anyways, yeah, that's all we got for episode 4. I don't know. You have anything else, Mary?
Nope.
Well, I just want to thank all of you for listening to our podcast. I greatly appreciate it. And I look forward to next week. So we'll see you later. Bye.